But this morning, I'd like to talk to you about the name of God. I think this is an interesting subject to consider from the scriptures. You know, there in the Old Testament, there's an account of an angel who would not give their name because they said it was too wonderful. And if you look at the original word there, it means mystery. It means a secret, and so it is an interesting thing when we're talking about names of spiritual beings, and especially the name of God, when there is an angel who might say that they cannot reveal their name because it's too wonderful of a secret, too marvelous, too mysterious for the human ear. But then we have, in other scriptures, we do have names attributed to angels like Gabriel, or even an archangel like Michael. And so it causes us probably to wonder, well, maybe these are names that were simply given to us on this earth, names in which we can identify individuals like Michael or Gabriel, but names that would not transcend into the rest of the realms, but were names given to us. And we might wonder if that's the same case when we talk about the name of God and what the name of, you know, what really is God's name. And are the names in the scriptures given to us, are those the names that are used of God in the realms of the spiritual and the heavenly realms? Well, to that we really have no idea. So we're not going to spend our time, you know, trying to wonder about those things. But I make that point to say this: the names that He has given to us in the Scriptures, these are the names He's given to us, and these are the names that we need to consider and understand and contemplate. And these are the ones in which we are to use in our speech as Christians and use in our prayers. So, what is the name of God according to the Bible? Well, we might have different answers popping up throughout the room, maybe. Someone might say God. In fact, if you go and knock on your neighbor's door, that might very well be the name that'll first come out of their mouth. What is His name? God. Well, that's not actually true, because the name God is not a name. It's a word. It's a title. It is a title. The word God means deity. Someone who is divine is someone who's going to hold the title of God. So it is not His name. It is His title. Some would say, in answer to the question, what is God's name? We'll say Jesus or Jesus Christ. We'll talk about that in a second. Certainly that is a name. The word name Jesus is given to Him, but it comes about later on in the Bible. Some would say, well, His name is Jehovah. I've heard that before. Jehovah. That's the name of God. Well, we're going to spend a good amount of time talking about that today. Some would say, well, it's the Tetragrammaton. YHWH, which Tetragrammaton, probably not something we use every single day in our common conversations, but that word simply means consisting of four letters. Tetragrammaton means consisting of four letters, which in the original Hebrew text, there is this word used, YHWH, this four-letter word. And by the way, that's obviously not Hebrew. That's a YHWH is a transliteration from the Hebrew. But we'll use it for our purposes because most of us speak mostly English. And so that's why we're using transliterations throughout this study. Well, maybe that's the name of God. We don't know yet. We need to investigate this. Over in Luke 1, verse 30... an angel came to Mary, who would be the mother of Jesus. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, For you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. So, we've understood that the word God is not God's name, it is God's title, because he is deity. He is not human. He is divine. But this Jesus, is it a name? Well, certainly it is a name. It is a name as we see here given in Luke 1. As the angel said, you're going to bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. But just the reading of Luke 1:31 shows us that this certainly was not the name of God from before the earth, you know, or even at the beginnings of the earth. But this was the name of God given unto him when the Son of God came to the earth. And at that point, his name was called Jesus. And some would wonder why, and I think that's a good question, why call his name Jesus? What is the significance behind the name of Jesus? When there could have been any name given to the Son of God when he came to the earth, why Jesus? Well, if you look up that word in Greek, it is the Greek word Jesus, and it means the Lord is salvation. That's what the name Jesus means. The Lord is salvation. And so it certainly is a name of God. It was a name given to the Son of God when he came to the earth. It means the Lord is salvation. Now, certainly we're not done with our investigation of the name of God, because as we've seen, this name came only about 2,000 years ago from where we are today. And so we want to go further back than that as well. But one thing I want to stop first, and before we go any further, I want to talk just a little bit more about this name Jesus. It's such an interesting name, defined as the Lord of salvation, because the first time we see it is not actually in the New Testament. It's actually all over the Old Testament. But we don't always see it that way, because it's a little bit hidden for us. And the reason why is because the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, not Greek. So when you get to the New Testament, you find the word Jesus. It means the Lord is salvation. And it's translated into the English as Jesus. But in the Hebrew, the same word, but in the Hebrew language, is used all throughout the Old Testament. It's this exact same word. Just going from the Hebrew to the Greek, it means the Lord is salvation. Yehoshua is it, and someone else possessed this name in the Old Testament. And the possessor of that name we know in the English as Joshua. So Jesus and Joshua possessed the same name, just in a different language. Now, what is interesting about that is, what did Joshua do in the Old Testament? And how is he, in the Old Testament speaking, how is he a type of Christ who was to come? Was Joshua not the deliverer of God's people to bring them into the promised land, to bring them into that kind of quote, salvation? Joshua 10, verse 8, the Lord said to Joshua, do not fear them, for I have delivered them into your hand. Not a man of them shall stand before you. God, through Joshua, brought salvation to the people of old in bringing them into the promised land, bringing them out of their days in the wilderness wanderings, where they came out from bondage of Egypt, and they've come into the land of freedom and promise. And Joshua is certainly a type of Jesus in that Jesus did the same thing. Of course, much greater, on a much greater scale, on a spiritual scale, he did the same thing in bringing the salvation of the Lord, in delivering us from our sins, and bringing us into the promised land. Or would bring us into the promised land of rest. So the word for Jesus is not limited to the New Testament, but is also found all throughout the Hebrew Bible and the Old Testament as well. And the name of Christ, the name Christ, again, is not so much a name as it is a title, but it is the Greek word Christos, and it means anointed. So Jesus Christ refers to Jesus, the Lord of salvation, by the definition of the term. That's certainly a name. Christ is the designation given to him as he is the anointed one. He is the anointed king. The anointment of Jesus refers to his kingship. So, for those who believe that Jesus is not yet king, shouldn't be calling him Christ, at least not yet. But as we've studied in the last couple of weeks, he is king, and he's been king since his resurrection, and he has all authority in heaven and on earth, and so he is the anointed one. He is the Christ. So far we've talked about the title God, we've talked about the name Jesus, and the description Christ as the anointed one. But we're certainly left with more to wonder and ponder about, because again, going into the Hebrew text, you know, what is the name of God given in the Hebrew before we find the New Testament, before we have the name Jesus attributed to the Son of God? Well, in the Hebrew, we have this tetragrammaton. YHWH. Most people pronounce it as Yahweh, but it's a little bit difficult to pronounce because its pronunciation has it depends on who you talk to, but most people believe is the pronunciation of the word has been lost. But scholarly individuals can look at the word and look at other words in relation to it in Hebrew, and some have concluded that you would pronounce this word Yahweh. Others I've heard pronounce it Yahweh. But whatever the case is, this is a Hebrew word. As you notice, there's no vowels in it, because in Hebrew there are no vowels, only consonants, which make every single Hebrew word impossible to pronounce unless it's been handed down to you. And that's how the Hebrews worked. They handed down by oral tradition how to pronounce every word in Hebrew. So the Hebrew words are all consonants with no vowels whatsoever. And so the same with this name of God. Now, it's used, depending on what manuscripts you're looking at, somewhere around 6,824 times in the Old Testament. Sounds like we've hit the gold mine, right? Over 6,000 times, or almost 7,000 times, we have this word used in the Old Testament text, attributed as a name of God. The first time it's used is Genesis chapter 2 and verse 4, where it says, "This is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God God made the earth and the heavens." If you look up here on the board, the underlined word there in Genesis 2, 4, the word Lord, that is this four-letter name of God, YHWH in transliteration. As you see, it is translated in the New King James, Lord. In most Bibles, in English Bibles, it's translated Lord. A lot of times you'll see it capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Whenever you see, if you're using a Bible that uses that kind of system, and most of them are that way nowadays, whenever you see in the Old Testament capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, you know that that is the original Hebrew word transliterated YHWH, possibly pronounced Yahweh. If you see in the Old Testament capital L, lowercase O, lowercase R, lowercase D, that's not the word Yahweh. That would be the Hebrew word Adonai. And the word Adonai is the actual word for Lord. So Adonai means Lord. Yahweh does not literally mean Lord. But we see that in English, we've had a very difficult time with this word. So it is usually written simply as Lord in all capital letters. Now, I mentioned earlier in this lesson, the beginning of this lesson, I mentioned the term Jehovah. And I need to stop and talk about that for a second. We're going to go back to this because we don't understand Yahweh yet. We don't even know what that means yet. We need to go back to it, but we've got to stop for a moment and talk about the word Jehovah because of its relationship to the word Yahweh. And that's what we need to do here. And what we're about to talk about is rarely talked about. And the only reason why I feel comfortable talking about it with you folks is because I've come to know you a little bit, and I know you're the kind of people that want to grow, and you thirst for learning, and you thirst for knowledge, and you might already know all this information here we're going to talk about, but it is rarely talked about, and so that's why I mention it that way, and I trust that you'll be able to handle this discussion very well, because if you're the kind of individual who has used the term Jehovah in your life, as I have for many years I did, then this might come a little bit to be a startling lesson for you. So kind of want to get you set up for that if you've never studied this particular word out before. So the word Jehovah, is it in the Bible? Well, in the old King James Version, it is in the Bible 4 times. Now, that doesn't sound like a whole lot, especially for how popular the word is today. In the New King James, 0. They completely took out the 4 times that it's used in the Old King James. And in the New King James is a revision of the Old King James. And so in the revision, they removed it completely. In the Old American Standard Version, you'll find the word 5,822 times. I didn't count. I didn't go through and count that myself. But you'll find it that many times in the Old American Standard Version. In the New American Standard Version, you will find it 0 times. Isn't that interesting? You go from 5,000 to 0 with the revision of the American Standard. In the English Standard Version, you'll find it 0 times. In the NIV, you'll find it 0 times. The Holman Christian Standard, 0. The New Living Translation, 0. Revised Standard, 0. World English Bible, 0. And that probably covers whatever translation you probably have at your on your lap right now. The conclusion here, what we're seeing is English translators, maybe over a century ago and further in the past, they would be so inclined to use the term Jehovah. But any translation that's been done the last 100 years has completely abandoned the term. Now, I don't know about you, but that is concerning to me. That tells me that there is a problem. And if you take the four times out of the King James, and if you take the American Standard, which the American Standard, I'm not going to say anything about that right now, but if you take these two out of the way, we wouldn't have the term Jehovah in English. I mean, we wouldn't even know of it because we couldn't read about it in our Bibles whatsoever. So what's going on? How come all modern translations have completely abandoned the term? Well, we need to go back a little bit further in history. The year of the 13th century and 14th century AD. These were the days of the Masoretes. The Masoretes are very important for our Old Testament Bibles today. The Masoretes were of the Hebrews, and they were very concerned that the pronunciation, the proper pronunciation of Hebrew terms would fall away because it's all by oral tradition anyway. And they wanted to come up with a way to be able to preserve for everyone in the future a way for people to properly pronounce and read the Hebrew words. And so what they decided to do is they decided to create a vowel system for the Hebrew. As I mentioned earlier, Hebrew is only consonants, impossible to pronounce. And so the Masoretes set out to create a vowel system that could be interjected into every Hebrew word, and therefore we'd be able to properly pronounce the words as they were originally meant to be pronounced. So, let's go back to this name of God. The consonants are YHWH, no vowels. So, what the Masoretes should have done with this is put the vowel system in place there for us to be able to properly pronounce this YHWH. But they didn't. On this one word, they didn't. And the reason why is because the Masoretes were living during a time in which they felt that it was not right for man to speak of God's name. It was too high. It was too honorable for us to speak the name of God. And so they wouldn't. And so any time that when they were implementing their system of vowels into the Old Testament Hebrew Bible, any time they came across this YHWH, this name of God, which is almost 7,000 times in the Bible, instead of writing in the vowels for YHWH to properly pronounce that name, they implemented the vowels of the word Adonai, which is the word for Lord in Hebrew, which those vowels would be A, O, A, and I. So what they would do is they would have the manuscript before them of the Old Testament, and they wouldn't write in the vowels into the words. They felt like that would be disrespectful to put the vowels inside of the words. So they would put a notation above the words throughout the Hebrew. Same thing with this word, this name of God, Yahweh, or YHWH. Instead of adding the vowels inside, they would notate them on top. It wasn't a problem at first, because they knew what they had done. They knew that they had put the vowel system vows for Adonai above the name of God. They knew that those were not the right vows for the word. They knew that that's not how you would pronounce such a word. But they were fine with that because in order to stick to their convictions, whenever they were to read the Bible and they come across Yahweh, YHWH, they were going to say Adonai. They were not even going to say God's name. They would just say Adonai. And these vows were going to help them to remind them that they needed to say that. Now, one of the things that they did is they removed that I. And it's kind of odd why they would, but it seems to be the reason is that for Yahweh, YHWH, that there wouldn't be an additional sound to come after the transliterated H at the end. That might be why they did it. So what happens is you have a new word. Now, not to the Masoretes, mind you. To them, they saw these the consonants on the bottom as one word, as God's name. They saw the vowels on top as a completely different word, the word Adonai, the word for Lord. So to them, it's two totally different names. But to people who came along after them, who did not have that information before them, as they were going along, English translators, for example, early English translators, as they were going along, guess what they were doing? They were taking the important work of the Masoretes and the implementation of the vowel system, and they were just dropping those vowels down. Every word, just dropping the vowels. Now, that's fine for any other word, but what happens if the Masoretes put a completely different word above another word, like this situation that we've come across? And this is not only what they did, by the way. They also changed the A to an E at first, because if it was an A, for Adonai, the vowel A, if they were reading, the Masoretes were reading the text, they didn't want to accidentally end up saying the name of God by seeing that word A, because YAH is Yah, which is a shortened form of an abbreviated form of the name of God. So they made several changes. Ultimately, as the English translators came through in the later centuries, they just started dropping all these vowels right down into the consonants, and you come out with this, what you have up here on the board, YEHOWAH. Still doesn't look like the word Jehovah, does it? Well, we're getting there. So, here we have the word. Now, as English started to gain popularity and started to, you know, English didn't always have 26 letters. But as more letters were adopted into the English language, does English have 26 letters or is that the Greek? English. And so as more letters were adopted, the word started to change. Like the Y in the front was dropped and an I was started to be used. Also the W was changed to a V. So now it's I-E-H-O-V-A-H. And now we're in the day 1611. Because this is how the word looked when the King James Version was written. In fact, take a look here. Exodus chapter 6 and verse 3. Now, this won't be found in any of the Bibles you're reading today. This is the original 1611 King James Version. The King James Version has gone through so many revisions. This is what it said back in that day. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, by the name of God Almighty, but by my name, Jehovah, was I not known to them. So you see, they definitely spoke quite a bit different than we do today. Well, they didn't have all the letters in the English language that we do now. They had most of them, but not all of them. So in actually later on that century, in the 17th century, that Y was dropped. So it went from a Y to an I. Now it's gone from an I to a J once the J became popular in the English language. And so now we finally have the word Jehovah. It is a word that has come from a series of mistaken events, a series of individuals who did not have all the knowledge before them when they started in the creation of this word. It is a word that originally came from, number one, the name of God, YHWH, and a mashup of the word Adonai. So it's basically two words in one, Adonai and Yahweh, smashed together. Now, the Bible has never done that. The Bible does not do that. You won't find it. You won't find it in the Bible. And that's why we saw in those English, the modern English languages, not a single one of them has the word Jehovah. Because we now understand what the Masoretes were doing. While the early English translators somehow missed the point on what the Masoretes had done. So, to answer the question, is Jehovah God's name? Well, it's not. It's an invented name, and sincerely invented. No one meant to make any kind of translation mistake by any means. It was a sincere mistake, and that's all that it is. So, I'm not one to use the term myself. used to, but not anymore. Turn with me over to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. Verse 11. This context is where God has told Moses to go back to the people, to go to the Hebrew people in Egypt to deliver them. In verse 11, Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" So he said, "I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain." Then Moses said to God, "Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they say to me, 'What is his name?' What shall I say to them?" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" Moreover, God said to Moses, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, 'The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations.'" So, Moses just asked for God's name, didn't he? He said, "What do I bring to Israel? What name do I bring?" God's response in verse 14 was, "I am who I am." Basically, what that is in Hebrew is that is a repetition of one word. It's used twice, "I am," and then "who I am." Now, the word used here is Hayah, and in Hebrew, and it means According to Brown Driver Briggs' Hebrew lexicon, it means to be, to exist, to be in existence, to abide, remain, continue. So this word is used twice here, once and then again. I am who I am. And so he says, it's translated in English, I am. But we see the point in the definition. Exist, to be in existence, abiding or remaining, continuing, something or someone that is. So in God's case, he is someone that is. And notice the context. When he said in verse 15, moreover, God said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob sent me to you. You see, these people, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they're not contemporary with Moses. They've been long put in the grave. But you notice what he says. I am the God of Abraham. I am the God of Jacob. I am the God of Isaac. And so what he's saying here is I am the God of Moses. I'm the God of the Israelites. And so he still continues to be. He is still in that state of God, still in that condition of deity when he spoke to Abraham, to the day in which he spoke to Moses and led the people out of Egypt. And so that's the point which he is making. Now, the reason why we come here is because this Hebrew word, Hayah, is associated with another word. It is the root word, the origin word of something we've been talking about all this lesson. YHWH, the Tetragrammaton. Hayah is the origin word in Hebrew to this word. So as Hayah means to exist or to be in existence, YHWH, commonly pronounced Yahweh, means the existing one. So although YHWH is not used in Exodus 3, verse 14, when God says, I am who I am, God was using the origin word to this word, Yahweh, which means the existing one. And so we see how it's all put together in which this is what he would have the people to understand him as or to call him. And again, we see this coming up to near 7,000 times throughout the Old Testament text, we find this word. Commonly in English, uppercase L, uppercase O, uppercase R, uppercase D. But the word literally means the existing one. This is the name that we most commonly see, the name we most predominantly see throughout the text. And so, I don't think we have covered all that could be covered on the subject matter of the name of God, but at least we have taken a few minutes today to look at some things that we might not have looked at in a long time, to understand the definitions of these terms, to understand the things in which God has given to us, names that he's given to us to hear, to understand, and to call him by. He is the continuing one. He's the one who was Abraham's God, Moses' God, David's God, and he's our God today. He is. He says, I am who I am. And he never changes. So those are the kinds of ideas that he wants us, I think, to understand from the words, these names in which he has given to us in his revealed word. So I appreciate your kind attention in this investigation this morning. And if there is anyone here who does not have a relationship with the great I am, with the existing one, with the God who has been the God from before the creation, through the creation, from the day in which you came out of the womb until today, if you do not have a relationship with this great and awesome God, if you've yet to serve him in your life and you want to make that decision today, then please come forward and let that be known. Repent of your sins, confess in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. Be buried with him in those waters to come out, to walk in newness of life. If that describes your need this morning, please come forward and let it be known while together we stand and sing.